Think about the last time you had to cancel a subscription. There's probably some waiting on hold, some guessing at your password, some mind-numbing small talk, and maybe after all that, you still weren't able to cancel it. Good news, it doesn't have to be this way, thanks to Rocket Money. Rocket Money tracks, manages, and can cancel your subscriptions for you. When you connect your accounts, you'll see a complete picture of all your reoccurring subscriptions all in one place. Rocket Money organizes your subscriptions by due date and notifies you when something's coming up, so you'll never be caught off guard when you get charged. If you see a subscription you want to cancel, Rocket Money simplifies the process. Instead of waiting on hold for an hour, you can cancel it right from the app. Rocket Money will even try to get you a refund for the money you spent on subscriptions you forgot about. Stop wasting your time trying to cancel subscriptions the hard way. Make your life easier and go to rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. Or download the app from the Apple app or Google Play stores.
Hello and welcome to the show. I'm Ian Stone. And over the next hour, me and a couple of guests will be talking through the joy and pain of the business end of the season. Only a couple of weeks to go and we're too far in to back out now. Because the football's on. Yes, this week we're going to be reliving the pain in Spain for City, the pain in Manchester for United, Europa League ecstasy and heartache, and some of the high drama that took place further down the football pyramid. Oh, and talking of high drama, we've got our regular quiz action as our comedians go mano a mano. And who are the comedians, you might ask? Well, our two guests are close personal show business friends and colleagues who I've known for close on 70 years. It's Mark Simmons and Rhys James. Morning.
Hello.
Morning. Mark, what have you noticed this week?
So I have noticed that Dover Athletic are sitting at the bottom of the National League with just 1 point from the entire season. They were deducted 12 at the beginning for missing some games during the pandemic, which means they have got less points this season than they have in a season where they refused to play.
They're like, it's a bit unfair. They miss games because of the pandemic. That is a reasonable excuse, I feel.
Their last game is against Weymouth, who are second to bottom, also relegated. So has there ever been a game with less morale on the pitch than that game? It's going to be like a wake.
Well, yes, but they'll both be on the beach and it's only up the road, isn't it? So that's not bad. Rhys, what about you? What have you noticed this week?
Well, in a similarly exciting tie as Dover-Weymouth, Man City versus Real Madrid, one of the greatest Champions League matches of all time. Yeah. Commentator Darren Fletcher, who I'm a big fan of, I think just missed the mark a little bit at one point when he described what was genuinely one of the most thrilling bits of sport I've ever seen as topsy-turvy.
Well, he did, actually, and we've got that footage of him saying that.
Benzema scores the penalty, having been fouled by Ruben Dias, and it's all gone wrong for Manchester City, and they've got to dig deep and they've got to believe, and in this topsy-turvy tie, who says they can't come back?
All right, Rhys, so you thought, he said it was topsy-turvy, and you don't think it was a topsy-turvy tie?
I'm not saying it wasn't topsy-turvy, I'm just saying I don't think the phrase really lives up to the magnitude of what had just happened. Benzema, I didn't realise it was Benzema had just scored the penalty to put them in the lead. Topsy-turvy? Yeah. Well, I mean, look, we've all heard the amazing commentary of like Spanish commentators, you know, the goal, 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 where they really go crazy. Or the famous Icelandic clip when they beat England is like one of the most iconic commentary clips ever. And then we see maybe the best ever Champions League game and he's going, well, this is absolutely wacky doolally. Proper bonkers, can't believe it. Come on, Fletch.
Come on, Scream. Fletch. You heard it here first. Well, let's talk about the trauma in Madrid. Manchester City, after that awful, awful defeat for them, came back to the comfort of the Etihad to take on Newcastle United. And inspired by Kevin De Bruyne, they crushed the nouveau-rich Geordies. But they've lost a couple of centre-halves. They're going to have to make do with only £15 billion worth of talent for the rest of the season. Rhys, I know it's hard for you to imagine, but if you've had a bad gig in the midweek, how do you recover for the Saturday?
Oh, I don't. I absolutely don't. I capitulate and then I'm done for. Then it's just over. And I have to basically take 3 weeks off. You know that. You must have seen me die my last two gigs in a row.
Oh, right. Yeah, okay. Fair enough. They did recover. They did recover pretty well, actually. Mark, Jack Grealish missed a couple of big chances. Should he have stayed at the Villa?
Or a nice hotel?
Either of those would have done. You'd have thought on Man City wages, he could have afforded it. I mean, there are other precedents for that sort of stuff. Matt Letizia stayed at Southampton his entire career. It looks Reece, like Harry Kane, may well stay at Spurs. I'm not saying they're a small club. I'm just saying it's a one-club thing. But do you not think that with Jack, that he might have got more love if he stayed at Villa?
Look, I've talked about it before where it's like, do you want to stay at Villa? And yeah, you're a legend in the city of Birmingham for the rest of your life. Or, you know, do you want to get to watch Man City every week? And I know which one I'm thinking. Please do come to my Birmingham tour dates. But at the same time, you know, this is one of the greatest teams in Premier League history. You get a front row seat.
You do. That is a fair point, actually.
He's going to get to meet Erling Haaland. You know.
Yeah, next year. next year we'll get to watch Erling Haaland. That seems perfectly fair to everyone, doesn't it? Reece, I'll come to you again. It is another failure for Pep in the Champions League. Do you believe what Yaya Toure's agent said when he said that Man City would never win the Champions League? Is it just bad juju? Do they need to get some sort of shaman in to reverse the curse? You know, maybe Bez from the Happy Mondays, shake some maracas over the corner flag, maybe?
I can't believe that Yaya Toure is still angry they didn't wish him happy birthday. And he is still trying to get in City's heads, going, well, you never win the Champions League. You don't even know where my birthday is. But no, I don't know. I think I don't really buy into all of this. I mean, if they've got Haaland, they're obviously just going to win it next year. It's fun for them to continue to not win it. But they just happen to be playing against a Real Madrid team where Benzema has an almost Shakespearean desire for revenge. Where he only switches it on when he's been wronged in some way, i.e. conceded. And then suddenly, it always just gives a close-up. The camera on BT Sport will always just give a close-up of Benzema after they concede. And his eyes go red. And then he just looks at all the other players and it's like, oh no, you've awoken Benzema. And then he's just going to go and get an assist and two goals or whatever. I think City don't deserve to win the Champions League as long as they're wearing these ridiculous scoop neck kits that make them look like Russell Brand's podcast era. You can't be champions. You can't be lifting a trophy looking like you're about to phone Andrew Sachs. It's a disgrace.
I think that's a fair point, really. Mark, let's talk about Madrid for a minute. They keep doing amazing things at the Bernabeu. Is it, as Barney Roney called it in The Guardian, the enchanted cauldron?
The enchanted cauldron. Well, I mean, I did hear David Beckham had a spell there.
I did hear that as well.
All the reports I read after the game was saying that the reason Man City lost was because of the magic of the Bernabeu. I feel sorry for the Real Madrid players getting zero credit. That's going to be so annoying. They'll be like, I don't know why I bother.
Working so hard just to be told, it was actually just in the air. It was a myth, a weird myth happened.
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. Now, obviously, like at any ground in the world, some people like to leave early. I imagine it happens all forms of entertainment. There are probably still people walking around who don't know who Kaiser Sose was in The Usual Suspects because they wanted to beat the traffic. I won't give it away, but the bloke who plays him doesn't get quite as much work as he used to. Mark, have you ever left early from West Ham? And if you hadn't, would you have made it home for this recording?
I'd say I'm the most loyal West Ham fan. This season, I haven't left early once. I mean, I haven't been to any of the games.
You stay watching the telly till the end, don't you?
Yes.
If you've left, you wash your hands of it. You don't get to celebrate the victory. The score, as far as you're concerned, remains as it does when you leave. That's why as soon as Spurs go 1-0 up, I turn it off. We're top of the league.
Oh, sorry. Have you joined the celebration police now? These people who moan about us when we enjoy our wins. Meanwhile, it is a massive week in North London as Arsenal take on Spurs on Thursday evening with a place in next season's Champions League up for grabs. Now, I should say that some of you will be watching this knowing the result, but right now it's in the balance. Reece, I have to come to you first. We all know that stifling tension can be very compelling, except at this corporate I did a few years back when it was actually unbearable. Is it tense on Tottenham High Road?
Well, I don't live there, and it's not somewhere that I frequent outside of game time, but it is generally quite tense there anyway, just as an area. So I imagine so. I think the vibe is a bit, I feel a bit free, actually. I feel a bit mentally free by the fact that it's not in our hands anymore. I think if it was, that's pressure. But there's also, there's sort of like not that much pressure on us, because even if we win, you have to drop points. So I sort of feel like, I mean, I'm not giving the team talk right now, but go out there and have fun, lads. Is the vibe of it. I don't know. It just doesn't feel that like, if we'd beaten Liverpool, for example, it would be extremely Spursy for us to then just lose 4-0 at home to Arsenal.
Yes.
The most Spursy outcome would be to beat Arsenal and then lose to Norwich on the last day of the season, obviously. But now I think the fact it's not in our hands makes it a bit... I'm not going into it. I mean, I am. The day I have planned on Thursday is I am doing a mental health benefit in the afternoon, in which I talk about the importance of protecting your mental health, and then immediately popping over to watch Tottenham versus Arsenal in the most important North London derby in recent history. So just immediately undoing all the good work I've done for mental health.
Do as I say, not as I do. I'm just imagining. Can you imagine Antonio Conte has ever said, just go out and have fun, lads?
No, I don't know that he knows the word, to be honest.
Doesn't seem like a Conte thing to say. Mark, as a neutral in this discussion, would you prefer Arsenal or Tottenham to make the Champions League? And as a supplementary question, do you ever want to get booked on this show again?
I mean, I'm now worried about my answer. I don't care. I don't think it really matters who I pick, because okay, this is a bit you're not gonna like. Neither are gonna win the Champions League. So it doesn't really matter. It's like the Lib Dems in a leadership race or Man City in the Champions League.
Yeah, I mean listen, right. we got to the final a couple of years ago.
I knew that's not winning. I knew
it's
gonna get nothing.
No one.
Yeah, of course. Who you think about your audience here, Mark. People at home are going mad for you, but
no one's happy with that answer. What was?
Can I answer again?
Hang on a minute. I'm just talking to the producer. Yeah. Take him out. Yeah, of course. Of course. Reese,
I'm
going to
answer again. I don't care what you say.
No. I know what you're answering.
I think you're both going to win.
And Chelsea might drop down to fifth. I mean, that is also a little possibility as well, Reese. Antonio Conte, do you want him to stay? Is he the guy you've been waiting for?
Yeah, I mean, I think it would be absolutely ridiculous not to back him. I mean, who knows if he's the guy I've been waiting for, but like, we just need someone to sort it all out. And he already sort of has. I mean, the way our defence has changed since he's come in, our shots under Nuno, we were having somehow negative shots per game. We were leaving games, our stats were without -4 shots. Don't know how they did it.
You were essentially under Conte, the Dover Athletic of shots.
Yeah, exactly, yeah. That's what they said about us. Yeah, that's what they charted on the terrace. A lot of research goes into these charts these days. But yes, I do think he's the guy. He's the guy. If he can bring back his hair from absolutely nowhere, then he can bring Spurs back to regularly getting Champions League football.
How many haircuts is this? Is like about the fourth different hairstyle, isn't it, really, that he's sort of tagged on there? But I do like him, actually, Conte. Mark, Tottenham got a very creditable draw at Anfield last weekend and handed the initiative in the title race to Manchester City. After the game, Jurgen Klopp was moaning about the way Spurs played. I mean, it wasn't very nice of Conte. Should he have set Spurs up to play Liverpool's strengths and for the good of humanity, perhaps?
I think Jurgen Klopp's got a point, which would annoy him because he wanted all three.
I say, I thought you were just trying to win your way back into my good book. But that booking has gone, mate. As we've said, Chelsea are doing their best to make it a 3-horse race, but it's likely they'll make the Champions League. And if Tottenham get in the Champions League, Reece, that would be transformational, don't you think? I mean, Daniel Levy would have to shop at Harrods instead of Lidl. Harry Kane probably stays. Conte stays.
Well, I think Harry Kane stays anyway now. I mean, it's when you're a hostage somewhere, and even the people trying to set you free give up. That's where you live, isn't it? So now that's just it. He's done. They're not even, they've stopped looking. That's where we're at now. In the missing persons report, they've stopped bothering. And his eyes, I mean, yeah. So I think Harry Kane's staying. I think Conte will stay as well. I think we're basically fine. Look, the Champions League's overrated. What you want to do is get in the Europa League, go out in the semi-final and then accuse the ref of corruption. That's the London way.
Well, you can watch Spurs at home. You can watch Spurs against Burnley at midday next Sunday on BT Sport in what will henceforth be known as the Europa League celebration. That's it for part one. That was just for me, that joke. When we return, more misery for Manchester United and some uplifting stories from the lower reaches. Part two of The Football Zone with me, Ian Stone, and two of the original cast of the Broadway production of West Side Story, Rhys James and Mark Simmons. And if you're so inclined, you can listen to this show on the Footballs On and On podcast, available on all the usual outlets. So in a season where they keep lowering the bar when it comes to humiliation, possibly a new nadir for Manchester United at the weekend when they got spanked 4-0 in Brighton. And this by a team that had only scored 12 goals at home all season. Since Sir Alex Ferguson left, they've spent £5.7 million per point. It is interesting, though. In the 7 years following Alex Ferguson's departure in 2013, United spent a net £2.7 billion on transfers and wages, more than any other club, but failed to win a single Premier League title, with each point accrued, as we said, costing them £5.67 million. The next biggest spend per point game was Man City, but they won three titles in that period. Mark, does this really mean anything? I mean, we know that Manchester United have spent an enormous amount of money for not much return. We didn't really need a chart to tell us.
I mean, it's just numbers, isn't it? I
mean, that is true. We can't argue that, can we, Rhys? It's just numbers, isn't it?
Yeah, that's what I say about the league table. It's just numbers.
As a West Ham fan, that's sort of got me through the last 30 years.
I'm not actually sure where West Ham are in the list, actually, in terms of pounds per point. But we absolutely know that Manchester United, as we said, are not getting value for money. Rhys, should Manchester United's entire season be nominated for a British Comedy Award?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think they're still... That Brighton result, it's a bit of a freak result. Clearly, the players are still hurting from the fact Jesse Lingard didn't get a leaving do. They wouldn't possibly play for a manager who wouldn't give Lingard his party.
Yeah. His brother was not happy, was he?
I know.
Yaya Toure levels of upset there, really. I know. There's only about 10 fans left in the stadium. If he would have walked about, he could have said goodbye to them individually outside. Mark, when Cristiano Ronaldo decided to come back, did he imagine himself leading Manchester United into the Europa Conference League? You know, running out the third best team in Malta's home ground is not quite the glorious homecoming he'd have hoped for.
Yeah, he's not going to be happy at all, is he? I mean, it's a league so boring, they've literally named it a conference. No one has ever looked forward to going to a conference. I think the Man United fans are probably coming around to the idea of the European Super League.
Yeah, it'll be less of a demonstration next time, I imagine. Rhys, is there something peculiarly British about the joy we get watching a giant being brought down by hubris? Is it like the end of King Kong? Is there an element of sadness as the biplane shoot bullets from all angles into the beast as it desperately tries to maintain its foothold at the top? I had to really go with that analogy, by the way.
Yeah, real poetry there, actually.
Thank you.
I didn't know you had it in you, no offence.
I didn't either.
Very beautiful, actually. Yeah, I'd say there's something British about that. There is the Germans have a word for it, so it's not exclusively British. No. But, maybe it's European. Maybe it's something European enjoying in others' failure. But it must got to be weird. Isn't it weird for Ralph Rangnick at the moment, as someone who knows that someone he's already been replaced and that someone's coming in to do his job? He's basically in his notice period, Rangnick. We're lucky he's not coming back from lunch tipsy. It's mad he's even turning up.
Now, you know what? Yeah, I could see that. He is sticking with it, really. And Mark, do you think that Sir Alex Ferguson, as he sits in the stand bearing his name, thinks to himself, I knew no one could follow me. I mean, all comics can relate to that, right?
Yeah, what's that like for him? It must be like watching another man make love to your wife terribly.
But let's all just imagine that. For a second. What do you think he's sitting there going, come on, mate, Make an effort. Track back.
It must be weird sitting in a stand bearing your name. Because doesn't that normally mean that you've died?
Yeah.
That'd be like sitting on a park bench with your name on it.
Yeah. Yeah. You would start to wonder. You start pinching yourself, wouldn't you, to see if you're a ghost?
What do you think? He thinks he's in the Sixth Sense now.
Yeah.
Probably thinks he's in hell.
Spoiler alert.
So that's now, right, Usual Suspects and Sixth Sense I can't watch.
I mean, the lowest points tally since the Premier League began. No coherent strategy. Reece, what can they do? Who do they keep? Who do they sell? How do you solve a problem like Maguire? Yeah.
I think if I was qualified to answer that, I would be doing something more high profile than the football's on.
Yeah.
I think BT Sport might have utilised my knowledge on one of their other shows. If I knew the answer to that.
Like the rugby's on.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, actually, maybe Maguire would be better as a fly half or something. I don't know.
I mean, they spent, Reece, they spent about 5 years pursuing Jadon Sancho and they finally caught him. Do you think he wishes he'd just run a bit faster?
Yeah, I don't know. He's going to come good. I feel for Sancho. He's going to come good. But so far, the experience that most football fans in England have had of him is rubbish for United, Mr. Penalty. So, I mean, there's a lot he's got to do to show us. Because, I mean, I wasn't watching Dortmund games. I don't know about you. But I've got a lot on, all right?
I know.
I've got the usual suspects to watch. I've got Sixth Sense to get through. I'm busy.
Mark, what about Ronaldo? I mean, he's sort of the problem and the solution, isn't he? What happens with him now? Do you think he's going to stay for another year?
I don't know. Because he did that thing, didn't he, where he sort of mimed that he was staying. Or was that? I don't know. During the game, he was like that, wasn't he? Did you not see that? As if I'm staying. That's what I saw a report on. But I don't know if that's just wishful thinking from Man United.
Mark, wasn't that game in Brighton? Was he saying, I'm coming to Brighton?
It might be, yeah.
I'm sitting by the coast. I'm staying here. This is nice.
Yeah.
I don't have to use southern trains. I've got a driver, so I'm okay. Now, we're talking about the lack of value for money at Old Trafford, but there's a lot more of it about at the top end of the Championship. After their victory over Nottingham Forest, Bournemouth are on their way back to the big time, and on an even smaller budget, Luton Town have made the playoffs. Mark, let's start with Bournemouth. Do you think it's a problem energising the local support because the vast majority of them are over 80 years old?
I mean, they are old. I mean, they still chant, "Who are you?" But they genuinely don't know.
Yeah. Reece, Scott Parker's the Bournemouth manager. He's done a really, really good job. He's a bit of a throwback to a more innocent age, isn't he?
Yeah, he looks like a soldier. He looks like a war hero. Even when he played, he just wore plain black boots, had his shorts up really high, shirt tucked in. He was just classic with that classic soldier haircut. He just commands respect, doesn't he? Because he's about to say, "Drop and give me 20 any second.
So he's an officer, is what you're saying.
He's an officer, not a soldier. Yeah, he's climbed through the ranks. He was formerly a soldier. But listen, as someone who watched him at Spurs do a full 360 every time he got the ball, I'm not surprised that he's turned things around at Bournemouth. One for you, Mark. Come on. Oh, we could all do him every now and then.
I'm going to write that down. It's good.
I mean, I haven't seen a lot of Bournemouth, but I am glad they're back in the Premier League. I went down there for a game. It's quite nice. There's only 11,000 in the stadium. David Brooks is back as well. And we've got to be pleased about that. Meanwhile,
you said that like you were playing.
Like I was playing. Well, I still hope to get a run out. I can still get up and down. Meanwhile, Luton Town, on a budget that would just about cover Cristiano Ronaldo's wage bill for 6 weeks, have made it to the playoffs. Their manager, Nathan Jones, said the atmosphere for their final home game against Reading at Kenny Road was amazing. Reece, should abbreviating Kenilworth Road to Kenny Road be a sackable offence?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, all of this sorts of stuff is just... I don't... I'm supposed to represent youth in a lot of things I do, but I'm actually 31 now, and I'm officially allowed to say game's gone. The game has gone, Ian. Let me be the first and youngest person to say the game has gone. I just listen, with the whole Luton thing, I grew up in the town next to Luton, and I had a lot of my formative experiences in Luton. My 18th birthday, I spent in Luton. First time I was allowed to sort of go to town without my parents was Luton. Loads of my first kiss was in Luton. And if Luton get promoted, I will feel absolutely nothing. I hate Luton and I don't care if they go up or not. All of those experiences I could live without. They were all terrible. That first kiss was in a nightclub called Liquid, literally called Fluids. I mean, it was terrible. I went to school with some people from Luton and I would have had to speak to them if we weren't in markedly different sets.
Well, Reith, I enjoyed that kiss, so I don't care what you say.
It never worked out for you, though, did it? It was a shame. In 2008, I should say, Luton had the highest points deduction in Football League history, 30 points after going into administration for the third time. They had three successive relegations. This is a great resurrection story. Older football fans will remember Luton as having one of the first ever plastic pitches. The football was terrible, but the triple backflip celebrations when they scored were incredible. Mark, do you think it's possible to play decent football on a bouncy castle?
I don't know. It has its ups and downs, doesn't it? I think you can. I don't know. I mean, they're better now, aren't they?
They are. Yeah, this one was terrible.
The only trouble is the substitutions will take ages because they've got to take their shoes off.
Yeah, there is that. They never thought it through, did they? That's the problem. Anyway, the other playoff teams are Huddersfield, Nottingham Forest and Sheffield United. I'm hoping for a Luton v Nottingham Forest final. That would be refreshingly old school. Further down in League Two, there was the most astonishing end to the regular season. Bristol Rovers needed to get 5 more goals than Northampton Town to gain automatic promotion. With Northampton 2 goals ahead at Barrow, Rovers needed 7. And when Elliot Anderson scored their 7th and the clincher in the 85th minute, there was a massive pitch invasion that delayed the game for 15 minutes until the manager, Joey Barton, yes, him, went on the pitch and told people to calm down. Reese, if you needed a workable definition of irony, you could do worse than Joey Barton telling people to calm down.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean, it couldn't happen to a nicer bloke, could it? Promotion. Lovely guy, Joey Barton. He was livid, actually, because they won 7-0, didn't they? But he had a bet on 6, so he was absolutely fuming. And people said, oh, it was not necessary. Like, I saw it described as being like, because Scunthorpe are already definitely bottom. So to go and win 7-0 was like that Simpsons meme of stop, stop, he's already dead. People said it wasn't necessary. But we know about Joey Barton from his time at QPR that he does like to attack teams. Another one for you, Mark. There you go.
Yeah, Mark did text me a couple of jokes that I went, there's no way we're getting that. Mark, apparently, crates of cider were carried into the home dressing room and more supplies were requested by 7:30. Do you think that's a good idea for an evening kickoff?
I mean, I think I could beat Scunthorpe drunk. but I do hope they had mixers as well. Because I really like the idea that they had 7 up. people also were criticising Scunthorpe for fielding a weak team. And I'm like, yeah, it's Scunthorpe.
I've always loved that joke. The Jordanian owner, Wael Al Kadi, ended up on the shoulders of Academy graduate Alfie Kilgore. And they had a great time, of course. Also in League Two, by the way, Swindon Town won 3-0 away at Walsall to deny Sutton United a playoff spot. Mark, have you ever been tempted to invade the pitch?
Only if I haven't got anything on. I don't think I would. I'm quite self-conscious at games anyway. I'm quite tall, so I always feel self-conscious when I stand up because I'm worried that the people behind me are going to hate me. I don't know. I don't think I would. I'd just be one of those boring people just sitting. Would you do it?
Me? No. I got taken on an Arsenal stadium tour and they invited me to the centre circle and I said, I can't step on the bridge. So really? I think that's a no.
What was going through your head that stopped you stepping on the pitch at Arsenal? You just
The pitch is such a sacrosanct place. I thought there might be some sort of sniper in the top of the stand, you know. Just wing me.
They'd have got Shaka by now if there was, I reckon.
Yeah. All right, let's have a quick game of Who Am I? You know the drill. I give out the clues and our guests try and work out who on earth I'm on about. Here they are. I was born in December 1966, played for 9 clubs and one more club I was part of but made no appearances for, and it was 9 in England and 1 in Turkey. I won the Turkish Cup as well as the 1999 League Cup. I also scored the 10,000th Premier League goal, and I made 17 England appearances, scoring 5 goals, and was part of the Euro 96 and the World Cup 98 squads. Who am I? I'll tell you after the break. And while that's happening, we're all going to go away and think about what we've done. Part 3 of the Football Zone with Rhys James. No, not that one. And Mark Simmons. Yes, that one. And me, Ian Stowe. So before the break, I asked, who am I? I was born in December 1966, played for 9 clubs and one more club I was part of, but made no appearances for. And it was 9 clubs in England and 1 in Turkey. I won the Turkish Cup as well as the 1999 League Cup. And I also scored the 10,000th Premier League goal. And I made 17 England appearances, scoring 5 goals, and was part of the Euro 96 and the World Cup 98 squads. Who am I? Mark, I'll come to you first.
So I'm trying to think who was sort of in Euro 96, in the Euro 96 squad that didn't really, could score, but didn't really score many. So like, who was there? There was like, it could be an attacking midfielder, like Anderton or McManaman or Robbie Fowler was in that squad, wasn't he?
You know what? No.
Should I just list lots of players?
Well, you can't go through the whole squad. Reese, okay. I'll come to you. Who do you think it is?
Well, I'm still trying to work out who Kaiser Soze is, but we'll come to that in the next one, I imagine. But I think I only really know this because, and I might be way off here, but I think I remember as a child, happens to be watching Soccer Saturday when they said, and it's the 10,000th Premier League goal scored by my hero at the time, Big Les Ferdinand.
The Les Ferdinand, indeed. He went on loan to Beşiktaş, but that's where he played in Turkey, and was also part of the Watford squad, but never played a competitive game for them. Retired a few months short of his 40th birthday. Wonderful, wonderful footballer. I hope he's doing well. So, nice one, Rhys. Massive disappointment last week for West Ham as they fell at the penultimate hurdle in the Europa League by losing to Frankfurt in a bad-tempered semi-final in Germany. They ended with the ignominy of their captain shouting about corruption and their manager, David Moyes, being sent off for kicking a ball at a ball boy. Rhys, the ball boy was slow at giving the ball back and West Ham were losing. Do you think Moyes should have been sent off or given a special UEFA award?
I just absolutely love everything that happened to West Ham in this moment. I'm obsessed with it. Sorry, Mark, but it was amazing. You had Cresswell taking it out on the players. Yeah, you had Moisey taking it out on the ball boy. Then you had Declan Rice blaming it on the ref. Why didn't they just carry on? Pablo Fornals having a go at the catering staff. You know, just have Thomas Suchek saying, we would have won it if not for foul play from the Tannoy announcer. You know, they were just going, I love it. All of them had an individual rival. Thank God Zuma wasn't in one of his moods. We know what he's capable of.
We do, actually. I like the idea of Pablo Fornals saying, I said cheese and ham.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Zuma chasing the mascot. I don't know what animal it was, but you never know.
Yeah, if there's a cat mascot, you wouldn't want Zuma.
Exactly, yeah.
To be fair. Mark, what do you think about ball boys getting involved? I mean, Arsenal ones do it as well. I think all clubs now have them trained up to sort of troll the away team, but I don't know what I think about it.
So I think that it should actually be a rule where if a ball boy does waste time, the opposing manager does get a free volley at them. So the ball boy has to decide just how much they want to waste that time.
This is not the first time, of course, that ball boys have got involved in big games. Here's Eden Hazard got very, very upset when Chelsea were losing at Swansea and kicked the ball from under the ball boy and turned out to be the chairman's son, didn't it, Rhys?
Something like that. He's a millionaire now. He owns a vodka company. So, you know, if who knows what this David Moyes ball boy is going to go on to become? It seems that it's like a superhero origin story, isn't it? You get a ball boy hoofed at you, get a ball hoofed at you by a professional football person. Next thing you know, you're running the show. Thing is, Hazard's one made sense, didn't it? Because Hazard's one made sense because Hazard was trying to get the ball back because the ball boy was holding it and wasting time.
Yes.
David Moyes wasted more time by booting the ball away.
He did. Anyway, he apologised, although I'm sure there was a little bit of him, because he missed him as well, didn't he? He got pretty close. And the ball boy had to be comforted by other people.
Yeah, you get a grip.
As for West Ham, Mark, you've got to be relatively happy with the season you've had, beating Man City in the Carabao, seventh in the league. I mean, two seasons ago, you were demonstrating in front of the director's box. Not you, obviously. You were seeing yourself as too tall to be standing there.
I've had a great time this year. I've recently moved near the ground. It's the Sevilla last 16. Was it last 16?
Yeah.
Last 16 game was the best football experience I've ever had. It was amazing. Yeah. My nephew was there, and I do worry that he has no idea what it's like to actually be a West Ham fan.
That's true. It's like going to the casino for the first time and you win money and you think, oh, brilliant, yeah. I think it's every week. It's true. West Ham's defeat denied us the chance to see an all-British final because up in Scotland, a Glasgow Rangers team assembled for £12 million continued their Europa League fairy tale with a great 3-1 win over Leipzig at a rocking Ibrox. Mark, my son lives in Glasgow. He said it was crazy on Thursday night. Do you think the bar owners of Seville have any idea what's about to hit them?
I mean, they don't. But don't forget, the Rangers fans won't know what's hit them either. You know, the sun.
That is true. Wear factor 50 and a hat, I think, is the general advice. Reece, the total cost of the team that Rangers put out in that game was £11.6 million. Paul Pogba spends more money than that on hair gel, I imagine.
Yeah, I mean, it is such an impressive achievement. What I don't get is because social media was immediately just full of people going, oh, and look, Steven Gerrard left to finish 12th with Aston Villa or whatever. They go, but Steven Gerrard was the manager. I mean, it would be, they wouldn't be there.
No.
He's a different manager. They wouldn't be in the final. He didn't. It wasn't the option. Wasn't stay here and you could maybe win the Europa League because you will get us to the final, or go to Aston Villa and finish 12th. Obviously, it was live in Scotland or live in Birmingham for more money, and that's what he chose. And I respect him.
God, Mark is a hard man, isn't he? My God. I mean, I think Steven Gerrard does have to take some credit. Of course, Giovanni van Bronckhorst has done a great job. The fullback Tavernier has scored 7 goals in the knockout stages and is the top scorer in the Europa League. Mark, are they favourites to beat Frankfurt in the final? I don't know. I'm just very excited to see them there.
Right, yeah, I find it very depressing, the whole thing. I mean, why not? I think so.
To the fact that they've got there. Shout. Good shout. You're more likely to gig in Glasgow than you are Seville. So he's Frankfurt. Let me say it again. Sorry.
Yeah.
It's all numbers, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's all numbers.
It's all numbers.
As Bear we're talking mind. About numbers, it's now time for the quiz that's sweeping the nation like a broom with a freedom pass. 3 questions each on the action over the weekend, and then 2 extras on a subject to be determined. It's like Mastermind, only they're sitting in their own chairs. Mark, by virtue of a coin toss, you can go first. We didn't do that. I just wrote it on the script. Here we are. Question 1. Connor Cody scored in the 97th minute to earn Wolves a point at last year's European champions Chelsea. But which is the latest goal ever scored in the Premier League from when they started recording in 2006? Was it Alex Iwobi v Newcastle in 2022? Bruno Fernandes versus Brighton 2020? Dirk Kuyt v Arsenal in 2011? Or John Terry v Everton in 2016?
A, B, C, or D.
A, B, C, or D.
I'll go for B.
Bruno Fernandes versus Brighton. It was a penalty after full time, but it's wrong, Mark. It was Dirk Kuyt against Arsenal in the 102nd minute of the game. We actually scored a goal to go into the lead in the 101st minute of the game. And I turned the phone off and then did a gig. And when I came back to it, they'd equalised. I mean, very Arsenal. Points there for Mark.
Why was there such long injury time?
I imagine there was like quite a bad injury.
That's a good answer.
They didn't do it just because they went, oh, this is a good game. We want to see a bit more of it.
Clues in the name.
Something actually happened. I couldn't say what, though. But anyway, we'll look into it for you, Mark. All right. Question two.
Thank you. I hope
there's enough detail in this question for you. Rangers used Fortress Ibrox, we've just seen, to make their way to the Europa League's final in Seville, where they will face Eintracht Frankfurt. Sorry, Mark. How many games have they had to play in the competition to make it to the final? Is it 10, 12, 16, or 18?
They had to qualify, didn't they?
They did.
So, 16 or 18. I'd say 16.
It is 16. They played in a playoff round before the group, an additional playoff against sides dropping down from the UEFA Champions League. Frankfurt, incidentally, have played only 12. 1 point to Mark. Question three. Everton climbed out of the bottom three with a win at Leicester. They are one of the six clubs who have been ever present in the Premier League. There are two clubs who have also never been relegated from the Premier League. One is Brentford, who came up this season. Who is the other team to have never been relegated from the Premier League? Is it Leicester, Brighton, Southampton, or Aston Villa?
Brighton.
It is Brighton, such a guess, but well done. Had never been in the Premier League till 2017-18, never been relegated from the Premier League. Two out of three. Now, Mark, now you have a bonus questions. You can either do playoffs or VAR. What do you fancy?
I'm going to go for VAR.
VAR, okay. Luke Ayling saw red. Wow, such a red. After VAR deemed his challenge on Gabriel Martinelli severe enough to go take an early shower. How many red cards this season has a VAR consultation led to? You don't get any clues here.
There's no clues.
Wow.
No. You just have to guess. You're just guessing the rest.
I mean, I wouldn't even know where this...
It's just numbers.
It is. It's just numbers, Mark. Come on.
Basically, it's all the numbers.
Yeah,
it's all the numbers.
It's out of all
well,
the
it's
numbers,
not going to be a million, is it? Let's work down from
Okay. I mean, this might be well out. 15.
13. That's unlucky.
Oh, really? Oh,
I
wow.
almost feel like I should give you a point, but I won't. still 2 out of 4. And the last question. VAR appears to be here to stay, but which team had the most decisions overturned in their fixtures this season after last weekend? Two teams have both been same amount, so either will get you the point.
Again, no clues. The most overturned...
Yeah, which team?
I'm going to say... I mean, it could be any. Let's go Liverpool.
No, it's Norwich and Newcastle. Both have seen 16 VAR overturns in their games this season. Yes, Mark scored 2 out of 5. When we come back, Rhys James gets his turn. Part 4 of the Football Zone. In part 3, Mark Simmons scored 2 out of 5 in our quiz. Now it's the turn of Rhys James. You ready, Rhys?
Yeah, I've never scored more than 0 on the Football Zone quiz, so I can't wait.
Well, we've given a few multiple choice questions to make it marginally easier. As the season nears its end, goal difference can be very important. Well, just ask Bristol Rovers. Which Premier League team has had the highest goal difference of all time? Is it Chelsea 2009-10, Manchester United 98-99, Blackburn Rovers 94-95, or Manchester City 2017-2018? Which team has had the highest goal difference of all time in the Premier League?
I'm going for Manchester City.
Yes, it is. Plus, do you have an idea of what it was?
What is it right now? It's 68 or something, isn't it, at the moment? Yeah. So I'll go for 77.
79. Blackburn had 41. The United treble winners, 43. And Chelsea under Ancelotti, 71. And while we're on the subject of Ancelotti, Real Madrid secured their spot in the Champions League final dramatically last week. They are the most successful side in the competition's history with 13 wins. But how many times have they got to the final and lost? Is it none, one, two, or three, Reece?
Wow. Okay. Nothing. None come to mind, but there must be some. There's yeah. No, I can't imagine. I can't remember a final that I can picture them in that they didn't win. But I will go for one.
They've lost three, Reece. They've lost three. Ooh, okay. 1962, lost to Benfica. 64, lost to Inter. And 1981, Liverpool in Paris. Ooh.
Fair enough.
One out of two. Question three. Chelsea women won their third consecutive Women's Super League on the weekend. Emma Hayes has turned them into a trophy-winning machine. How many trophies has she won as a manager? We're including Community Shields and the Spring Series. Is it 10, 12, 13, or 15? No idea. None at all.
I don't know why I'm looking as if I'm trying to work it out.
I know.
It's just going to be a guess. What I'm trying to work out is the question writer's motives. So it's 10, jumps up 2 to 12, then just 1 to 13, then a further 2 to 15. Now, what's going on in this question writer's head? I will go for 13.
Oh, it's 12, Ruth. 12. Six leagues, if you include the Spring Series, three FA Cups, two League Cups, and a Community Shield, all with Chelsea. She is an excellent manager. Now, the bonus questions. Mark went for VAR, so you get the playoffs, Reece.
Oh, good. Thanks, Mark.
Well, you're currently one behind. So the end of the season from the Championship down brings the ups and downs on the playoffs. But what year did we first see a playoff to gain promotion to the top flight?
Come on, there's no options as well. I literally don't even know what decade. I don't even know what decade. I'll go for it. What year? First year playoff to gain promotion to the top flight. So not to the Premier Leagues. No clues in the question at all.
None.
When would they have been introduced? I really have no idea. I will go for... and I think I should get a point if I'm within, say, 50 years. I will go for 1972.
Oh, it was 1921. So you're
not within 50 years.
It was 1987, Bruce.
Oh, right, okay.
1987, okay. The first two playoffs saw the third, fourth and fifth teams playing the same format as now. Well, anyway, you don't care. You got that one wrong. question five. You're currently losing 2-1, Reece. Two teams hold the record for the most times to have qualified for the playoffs from the second tier. Can you give me either of them? Two teams have qualified for the playoffs from the second tier the most. Who are those teams?
Okay, well, listen, I might be really going for recent history here, but I feel like not this year, but in the over the last 10 years, it feels like Derby are in the playoffs a lot. So I'm going to guess Derby.
Outstanding work. That was very, very good.
Wow.
Derby County. Eight times, along with Ipswich, both only promoted once via playoff. That was a last-minute equaliser.
Yeah, what an equaliser.
Wow, the excitement.
It's corrupt.
Yeah. So that means the score was Mark Simmons 2, Reece James 2. We should probably have some sort of question here to some sort of playoff, but we'll just have an honourable draw. And we'll get you back on again next time, although we're not getting Mark on, obviously, after his disparaging remarks about the Lib Dems and Arsenal and Tottenham. Anyway, so Watford lost 1-0 to Crystal Palace and their relegation for the Championship was confirmed. Roy Hodgson said goodbye to the Palace fans, but apparently not the Watford fans, as it was all the way over the other side of the stadium. Reece, did Watford need to choose ends at the kickoff based on Roy's mobility?
Well, I look, because they're all going mad, aren't they, because of that. I Roy Hodgson's a bit of a weird one, isn't he? Because I can't associate him with anything other than that meme of him as England manager being really excited and then being disappointed. I can't think of anything but that. But they're very angry, and the Watford fans are really angry and want him sacked. But I just think there's no point sacking him, is there? Just like no one takes the Watford gig for long-term job security. Everyone knows it's a stopgap, it's a supply teacher role. It's basically temping the Watford job. I'd be surprised if they're not offering it as a placement year on most sports science degrees pretty soon. So there's no point feeling angry. It'll be over before you know it. He'll just leave.
Yeah, I think that's probably true. And Mark, Roy Hodgson's, he's sort of like football's uncle, isn't he? You know, the sort of uncle you'd be pleased to see, but he might bring the wrong biscuits, though. That sort of uncle.
I have actually prepared an answer for this, but I left it over there and just... It's too far away.
Sorry, it took me a moment to know what was going on there. All right, let's do a little bit of this week in history. We got a couple of good ones here. 9th of May 1951, England played their first ever international game against foreign opposition at Wembley. It was against Argentina, and a crowd of 99,000 watched England win 2-1. The best thing about it was that because they didn't have floodlights, it kicked off at 3 p.m. on a Wednesday afternoon. Mark, didn't these people have jobs to go to? No wonder the country went downhill.
I actually watched the highlights of this last night, and it's amazing. Have you watched these? One, it's just crazy how many people that is in there. And also, the commentary is brilliant. Like, the commentator described the Argentinian goalkeeper as the deadpan-faced keeper, which I think is really funny. Like, who's the other keeper? Jim Carrey. Like, what?
He said that, I heard that he said that the amount of fans in the stadium was absolutely topsy-turvy.
Yeah. But... and... All right, and this one, I can't believe we're doing this one. On the 10th of May, 1995, it was Naeem from the halfway line as Arsenal lost 2-1 to Real Zaragoza to a last-minute 60-yard lob from the former Tottenham midfielder. Rhys, did you celebrate?
I don't know that I did celebrate in the moment, but I'm glad it happened. I'm glad to see pictures of David Seaman after just being lobbed in the last minute, lying down like he's Michael Jackson on the album cover. It looks like he's on a Shay Long. That's far too casual. Look disappointed. But I was very happy. Naeem, absolute Spurs legend. Absolute Spurs legend. He was there when we last won he was in the team when we last won a major trophy. That's how long ago that was. He won the FA Cup in 91.
Well, I'm so glad we finished with that. That's it for the show. Thanks to Rhys James, Mark Simmons, and we'll be back next week. See you soon.
Breaking apartment news. The champion people, you know, the people with the good apartments, bring you River Park of Dublin with this amazing deal.
No rent until 2026. Live in one of the coolest places in the city, right by Bridge Park, and you will not pay rent until next year.
I don't believe it.
I lie a lot, but not about this.
River Park of Dublin. Great location, great amenities, and now a great special. Okay, now go to livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
This holiday, unwrap the magic of Gold Belly with America's most iconic food gifts shipped free nationwide. Send unforgettable treats like Ina Garten's coconut cake, Lottery macarons, and even Joe's stone crab from Miami. Plus, make family time even more special with an award-winning dinner like Peter Luger's legendary steaks shipped anywhere by Gold Belly. So if you want this year to be one for the record books, check out goldbelly.com and use promo code GIFT for 20% off your first order.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Check engine, ABS, or maintenance light on? Take the guesswork out of your warning lights with O'Reilly Veriscan. The service is free and provides a report with solutions verified by ASE-certified master technicians. And if you need help, we could recommend a shop for you. Ask for O'Reilly Veriscan today.
Oh, oh.